want to start?
No, I don't want to start. Since you didn't include me in the conversation, no, I don't want to start. There, I've said it. All the people listening.
I don't know what these niggas speaking of.
Jesus.
I don't know what these niggas tripping on.
World famous Phil Henry Show, good morning.
Don't touch my niggas, I suggest you don't.
It's Meek Mill.
Boy, if you do, you must be suicidal.
I don't know.
Don't say my name unless you're suicidal.
Don't say my name unless you're suicidal. Well, wait a second. Yes, do say my... No, don't say my name anymore because we're not Arbitron rated anymore. Oh, by the way, we're not Arbitron rated anymore, so we can say the following thing.
Phil, don't do it.
No, we can say the following. Fuck Arbitron. And all you... Don't say it, man. N-words. That's right, we weren't allowed to talk about Arbitron when we were on the radio, but we can talk about Arbitron now all we want, about their faulty methodology, about their bullshit fascist control of the radio industry and all that it rates and all that it... Even Sean Hannity can't mention Arbitron. Even Sean Hannity, he can't say anything about it, even though he was sounding off the other day.
Well, I don't know. I think you're getting into some very deep water.
Well, Phil, what is the story? Would you turn that goddamn...
I like this song.
I can't hear myself think. This girl's talking about the N-word. God damn.
Now, but this doesn't mean Mill.
I don't give a damn who it is. I can't talk over the... Oh.
That better?
Yes, Phil, I love that music unless it is drowning me out. I don't think the general would agree. If it's drowning me out, I hate it. I despise... It is audio sewage. It literally, if you could hear, stink.
Yeah, it's probably... Good description.
Is that right? Okay, well, it's all gone if you could hear stink.
I mean that, Phil. Now, what is this about you making decisions?
I'm not going to get into this. We had a decision. We said that we were going to do this. We start the show with what we were just talking about. And guess what? Now I don't know what it is we're talking about. What were we talking about?
Talking about the Putin.
Yeah, Putin and Prince Charles. Just getting back to the other topic of Arbitron. I saw Sean Hannity commenting about the faulty audience measurement going on in radio. Sean, you're a great guy. Did you just goddamn well wake up to the fucking reality of what's going on out there? Did you just now get out of bed? The cats at ABC are paying some good money. You deserve it. You're a good man. But maybe they're putting so much money into your pocket that it's backing up your asshole up into your brain.
Oh, you're going to get into some real serious...
Oh, no, he knows I'm kidding.
No, he does. No, that sounds very... That's like...
Yeah, it's kind of...
You say it, bud. I don't want to say it.
Kind of like in the Reservoir Dog thing.
The Reservoir Dog thing what?
Remember that guy said he'd taken up the butt so much?
God help me. God forgive me.
Yeah, he took it up the butt so much he was backing up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy who...
I didn't say anything about a guy taking it up the butt so much it's backing up. I said that Sean's got so much money going into his pocket it's back... Well...
Yeah, same thing.
You were using money in place of...
Semen.
Now, I have to go to the bathroom. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and leave now, Margaret. You dropped that A-bomb, huh?
I tossed that hand grenade, yes.
All right, so...
You can handle this, even though she's in the bathroom.
Yeah, I can handle it. I'll clean it up. Don't worry about it.
You don't have to clean anything up that I leave, Phil. You may need some Glade, but you don't have to clean anything up that I...
All right, would you just go ahead and do your business? All I said was, now that we're doing a digital show, I can talk about Arbitron all I want. You know, you couldn't talk about Arbitron when you were on the radio. When you were doing an actual radio broadcast, you couldn't even mention them, or you would violate your contract with Arbitron. The station would fire you. You got to see these guys, man. They're so in the pocket, and the people meter. I'm telling you, there's one company that runs the broadcast business, and that is the Arbitron company out of Beltsville, Maryland, with all of their insidious and nefarious activities. It's worse than Halliburton. It's worse than Dow Chemical. It's worse than Dick Cheney. It's worse than any excess of the Nixon administration, the Cheney administration, the Bush administration, the Barfinkel administration, the Winston administration.
Man, what country? What do you mean Winston? There was a President Barfinkel and Winston?
Yes, there was President Barfinkel, and Winston was his... No, of course. Of course not.
Well, I don't know. I'm just a simple soldier, Phil. Just a simple... What are you talking about?
Just taking some jokes.
Well, you can't joke with me. I'm just a man who stands at the ready. You tell me where to go and who to kill, I'll do it. Other than that, I can't. Now, you're saying some things.
The general's getting very nervous.
Oh, in comes walking. Here's Margaret walking in. What? Rubbing your hands? What is that?
I'm drying my. Oh, my God! Excuse me.
Mr. Henry, all she's wearing is drying her hands.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Margaret. I know you're just drying your hands. It's just that, you know, you came in here this morning.
You're the ones that had the meeting.
We had a meeting. You weren't here. We had a meeting. What do you want to start the show? How about if we start the show with the last thing we were talking about during a pre-show? That's, well, that way it's organic, at least, you know?
Organic, all right. It's organic to the people that were listening during the pre-show, but not to the people that are listening to the new show. Oh! But I wasn't here. You couldn't ask me that. I could not lend that bit of intelligence. Oh, God, I'm stuck right now. And
who's going to give you? You need a neck rub, right?
Yes, and I don't want you guys rubbing my neck. I have to do this. Oh, thank God.
What is this new malady?
Now, her neck, is it a paralysis, Margaret?
Yeah, my neck gets paralyzed when I stick it out. When I begin to wiggle my head and wag my finger too much, the neck paralyzes and my voice box begins to jam into that sort of monotone.
I only heard that once before.
Yes, the only way to get rid of it is to rub the neck. Now, I say that I don't want this one. Don't you ever come near me, all right, bud? And none of you guys. I don't want any of you putting your pizza juice fingers on me. No, no, no.
All right, well, then how do you get rid of it?
I'll give myself a little bit of it. All I have to do is...
Yeah, you gotta give yourself a rub job. That's kind of sickening.
You want to know what's sickening? The way your face is going to look after I land this...
What?
Got away.
Yeah, I gotta be fast, man.
You know, she's missing you on purpose, bud. All she's trying to do is scare you.
No. She'll hit me one day, and then you'll be sorry.
That's true, Phil. Don't let him think that,
No, she's missing you on purpose. If she hits you, she's married to a lawyer.
Could I be talked about as if I'm here, not like I'm in the third person, not like I'm something that you saw as you were driving down the road burning?
Something I saw driving down the road burning?
Yes. In other words, a car wreck. And not only was I burning, but there were people jumping out of me on fire. Go ahead and laugh, Bill.
All right. I apologize for having the meeting without you, Margaret. That's number one. Number two, Arbitron can lick it. And Sean, if you're going to go and do a whole statement to the radio press, which, of course, those jokers, they'll print anything you say, then name the company. Name the company. You can't do it because you'll be in violation of the, you will be violating the contract that whatever company you work for, I guess ABC, has with Arbitron. And so you'll say the way we rate audience sucks. Yeah, the way you rate audience blows a very fat and healthy chipmunk, okay? That the way that radio rates audience lips off every hamster ass that the Japanese could ever think of photographing and putting into a coffee table book.
Hey.
Sorry.
That's very funny.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a bit... Those Japanese were the... Did you see that?
Yes, I think they're very cute. The Japanese have a... For those of you that don't know, the new Japanese gig is to photograph hamster ass.
Yeah, they've got pictures of hamster butts. I swear to God. All right, what we're going to do here... I'm going to try and get some traffic going with... Not yet.
No, get done, but do it before the break.
All right, we'll do it before the break. Don Berman is going to join us to talk about Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak, recently in the news, he tweeted something about people that are global warming alarmists. They're unpatriotic racists. He claims it was a joke, but if you're a conservative and then you joke at the extreme, I can see how it's a joke.
Oh, don't buy that, Phil. Pat Sajak is a dyed-in-the-wool he may be a racist, a conservative, and I believe you think it's a joke.
Well, that's what he said. He said it was a joke, and not a very funny joke, and maybe ill-timed, and it's hard for people who see you as a conservative when you say a really arch-conservative thing, or maybe off-the-chart right-wing thing, I should say. Shouldn't call it conservative, because I wouldn't attribute to progressives the Stalin purges and the gulags of Siberia any more than I would attribute to conservatives concentration camps, okay? So I don't want to... go there, but I'm just saying, if you are a conservative, people are more likely to believe you saying that a global warming alarmist is an unpatriotic racist than they would think you're joking. you know?
Well, I certainly didn't think he was joking. I read the comment, and I thought, and I know Don knows Pat, too. I've known Pat very casually and socially for many years. Frank and I have seen. I think he's a wonderful man, a very funny man, a good card player. He is...
Why is it every time somebody wants to say something nice about someone, they're good card players?
Well, I'm not making it up, Phil. We've played bridge with Pat and his wife, Guga. I don't know her name. We're very close.
How can you be close with somebody and not know their name?
You got all kinds of questions here, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Ian, you got all kinds of questions, no answers.
All kinds of questions, and you haven't got a hamster ass full of answers.
Sorry.
You know, this lack of sleep you think is charming, but it's making you sound like a babbling goon. And you have a meeting today at the where?
We're going over to the Improv today with my my friend Darren McAfee, one of our producers, and we're just going to just take a look at the club, man. I haven't been in the Improv in years, and I certainly have never been there as a performer, so I need to just see the stage.
Well, you're doing like a one-man show, and my understanding is, and of course I'm not conversant with these things, Margaret, you could, or Bud, or Robert, or whoever, you two guys especially, you two guys look like you live for comedy, you know?
Yeah, I watch Comedy Central a lot.
Yeah, I like Tosh, you know?
I don't know Tosh, I don't know Comedy Central. If it walked up to me and tried to fondle one of the cheeks of my, you know, and I'm not kidding, but...
If it walked up, tried to fondle your ass.
I didn't say ass because I wanted...
He's trying to be polite to me. I am a woman, and I'm in the room, and the only one that makes an effort to be a gentleman is the general. I appreciate that, General.
You're welcome, Margaret. So, yes, I wouldn't know comedy or Comedy Central or Tosh, whoever that this Dick Licker is.
And, yeah, so much for him being a gentleman.
Good God in heaven.
Sorry, Margaret, it just came out.
I gotta go dry my hands off this pizza juice.
Do you guys have pizza juice on your hands?
No, well...
What is it? Are you eating that shit for breakfast, man? You gotta get a real breakfast. You gotta have eggs.
Here we go again.
Well, Phil's right.
Go over there to Mrs. Olson's. You know.
Yeah, Mrs. Olson's is good, man.
I don't want to go to Mrs. Olson's. Good, always a line. And the girls there have boobs that are big, and it distracts me.
What a jackass.
What did you say?
Hold on. No, don't say it again. What a jackball you are, man. You know that? You can't... You go to Mrs. Olson's, which is the official breakfast place of the Phil Henry Show. Not that they know it.
Well, if they knew it and they approved, they'd be giving you your breakfast for free.
I don't want it for free. I don't want anything for free. I don't like any freebies, man. You want to know why? Because every time they give you something for free, it's always the low end of the menu. I want what I want. And I don't eat there that much anymore because I'm on this diet, right? But... when I do go there, and after I get back down to the 210, Jack, I will,
Talk about the freeway?
What do you mean the free, the 210 freeway?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying when I get back down to 210, what did you guys think I said?
They thought you, when you get back down to the 210, meaning the Foothill Freeway.
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about dieting. I'm talking about weight, okay?
But you said I gotta get back down to 210. Remind me of maybe you gotta...
It sounds like a song.
Oh, it sounds like a song? Well, that's great. Sounds like a song. Why don't you guys write that? I got to get back down to the 210 freeway. I'm talking about my weight. And I'm talking about when I do get back down there, I'm heading for Mrs. Olson's. I'm getting that tri-tip omelet. And I'd like to see you try and stop me, bud.
Hey.
Thank you.
No, have at it, Phil. You're welcome. You can have all the heart attacks, all the jammed up, the jammed ventricles.
Well, for Christ's sake, Margaret, you're telling me a man can't enjoy a little tri-tip omelet without being guilty and feeling like he's going to have a massive coronary and start bleeding from the eyes. That's just great.
I didn't say that.
Well, you know, look, health is important, and God knows, you got to do the do and the funky chicken, too. You got to, you know, do your thing, man. But you, if you want to enjoy a good breakfast, and breakfast is so fucking, excuse my French, but it is so awesome. You know,
breakfast is, it's the most important meal of the day.
Yeah, but is there a better, I mean, dinner's great, lunch can be, but breakfast kicks ass, you know?
Well, it can kick ass if you're having the good, I love the eggs, the very light, you know I love the light hams. I love the lean sirloins, the light hams, the very leaned out meats.
Ms. Gray, can I say something?
If you say anything sexual...
No, all I'm going to say is, when you said leaned out meat, your fingers went like you were touching a thin penis.
I'll kill it.
Hey, I'm okay.
Get your hands off, Margaret. Get your hands off his throat, Margaret.
Fucking little prick.
There she goes again, bud.
Bart, what did I do?
Like your fingers are touching a thin penis.
I know that you did that on purpose, bud.
No, I didn't. I was trying to just put it into terms that is relatable.
Oh, I see. So small, thin dicks.
Shit.
Did you think that that was relatable to Margaret?
Go ahead and laugh it up, Phil. You'll be sorry the day I don't show up for work. You'll be sorry the day I come here and I'm not here for work.
What would you be here for?
To present you with a summons. I'm Margaret Gray, bud.
Hey.
All right. Come in here, please. All right, coming up, we're going to have comments from Prince Charles about Hitler being... can you imagine him comparing Hitler to Putin? What an insult to Hitler. And also, we're going to talk here about more on the Arbitron statements or the non-Arbitron Arbitron statements of Sean Hannity. Don Berman will be in to talk about what happened, what kind of mental disorder Pat Sajak may or may not have. There's been another coup in... there's actually been an official coup now in Thailand. See, the army took over and they, well, we're just, you know... And then they said, well, okay, now we're in charge. So that's great. So, and coups are so smart. Here's the smart thing about a coup. When you have the military in charge, the populace and the military say, oh, if anything fucks up or anything goes the way we don't want it to go, guess what? We'll just go ahead and have a coup. So you never really have complete reliant faith on the constitutional elected government of your country because you just, well, the fallback is the coup. You imagine if we thought that way in America? We would never have, never again, democracy would be dead. Because there'd always be some ass jacket saying, well, let's go ahead and get the military in there. You know, look at this. There's gridlock, military. Obama and healthcare, military. What are these Republicans? They're drilling and they won't get military. We would have the damn military. And somebody say, well, why don't we do this democratically? We can do it democratically and we will. We just need reforms. Oh, what reforms? So there isn't all this gridlock. In the meantime, we'll just park a tank here in front of your house. Do you mind? No, of course you don't. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yay.
So there it is. And you never, ever, ever, not never, not know-how, not never. You never, you're just, you suck. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back here. Don Berman coming up. Conversations about all the aforementioned. Don't forget, this is Customer Appreciation Month. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Get an all-access backstage pass. Join us for our pre-show and get yourself the best value online other than porn. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you all for helping us sell out the Improv June the 5th. More shows planned.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, reminding you that if you need dental care, Dr. Fawn is available and will be available until next week before he goes to Costa Rica on his annual surfing vacation. But Dr. Fawn, I love him. He can't fix buck teeth because his teeth are bucked out, and he feels it would be a violation of his basic principles, which is never make anyone better looking than he is. Now, that means that not a lot of people walk out of his office with teeth that aren't Bucky Beaver, but he will straighten them, he will clean them, he'll make them cavity-free, and you'll walk out of there with a big lollipop. Now, I'm going off book, as we say in theater right now. It's a lollipop designed to fit the mouths of people whose teeth are bucked out. Developed by Dr. Fawn, the lollipop designed for people whose teeth are bucked out is available also now at Rite Aid. Dr. Fawn's.
In the mall in Monterey Park and Montebello, Dr. Fawn, be sure to ask for the lollipop designed for people's mouths whose teeth are bucked out.
That is Chelsea Grin with Angels Shall Sin, Demons Shall Pray. One of our pick the clicks here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, this is garbage. This trash will never. If anybody buys this record, they should be locked up in a lunatic asylum. They should have their anal cavity checked for heroin. I mean that.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Maybe I, you know.
All right, thank you very much. That is Chelsea Grin. No arguments, okay?
I think that's bad. That's a bad what you said.
What did I say that's bad?
You said that people that like Chelsea Grin ought to have the anal cavity.
People that like Chelsea Grin should have an anal cavity. Everybody does.
You talked about searching them. Margaret, let's just agree to disagree on certain music, okay? Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. Joining us now is Bob Bakin. We're getting some traffic out over the various, I don't know, where the how do we do traffic when the show is heard all over the world? Bob, what's going on?
All right, I'm told that traffic here over Bangkok still is Thailand. And a lot of things happening out here. A lot of people out there, a lot of tanks. And there's people having their selfie picture taken there over Bangkok, Thailand. Now, moving on over to Ukraine right now, the Russian troops are out there. And the Russian troops are out there. We have signed autographs saying hi to everybody as Russian troops are pulling back from the border. Now, over in the bedroom here, Bill McElhinney. And Bill, he's pulling out, and he and his wife wanted to have a baby now for long.
All right, thanks a lot. That's very good.
There's Bob Bakin.
Why don't you tell that guy Bakin? Excuse me, I dropped. Why don't you tell that guy Bakin to stick to the topic of doing the traffic instead of giving everybody Bill McElhinney's doing, who's a very good friend of mine. All right.
Bill McElhinney's a friend of you. That guy exists.
Yes, see, I was talking to Bakin about him, and I said they're trying to have a baby, and there's Bakin. Oh well, he pulled out. You know something, Bakin? You deserve to have that chopper shot down. I'm sorry.
What a thing to say.
That is.
I don't give a sweet damn. For that man to say on national, public, global, private, and public, digital, whatever the Christ this is called, for that man to say that Bob McElhinney pulled out, I if I had a shoulder-mounted, goddamn, I'd love an RPG, right? You think I'm joking, huh?
No, I don't think you're joking, and I think it's a hell of a thing to joke about. A hell of a thing.
You'd get on a rooftop and shoot his... Oh, my God!
Margaret!
Oh, my God!
You know, you started this, man. What?
Bob Bakin on the phone. Bob Bakin with Bob Bakin.
Slow down, bud. Slow down. All I heard was Bob Bakin. Bob Bakin what?
Wants to go on the air.
Bob Bakin wants to go on the air.
Yeah, Bob, what's going on?
I'm Bob Bakin out here, and I tell that right now to General. Hey, General, this is Bob Bakin up in the helicopter right now. And I heard what you wanted to say. Did you want to shoot my ass out of the sky? Have at it, my friend. All right, come at me. Because I don't think you've got ball one to do it. Not at all, not at all. I'm Bob Bakin with traffic out here.
All right, that's... where are you going?
You watch me.
Wait, where are you going, man?
You watch me.
Would you go get him?
Yeah, fine.
Oh, I'll help you, man.
So, Robert...
Get your hands off of me.
Can't do it. I swear to God.
Come on.
Get your filthy paws off. You get your stinking paws off of me, you damn dirty ape.
Come on, man.
Just tie him to the couch if you have to.
Ah! Come on, General. You can't do it.
Oh, my God. This is disgusting.
Yeah. General, it's for your own good.
You dirty... Tell him Soylent Green is people. It's people. Look alive.
What a mental case.
All because Bob McElhinney is a friend of his, and Bakin said that McElhinney pulled out too soon.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, just so if you're not following along, if you don't have your program this morning, Bob Bakin does traffic. Why is he talking about his friend pulling out too soon when he and his wife are trying to have a baby? That is about...
Because Bob McElhinney's a friend of mine. Maybe he saved my life in Vietnam.
Did he?
No. He wasn't even born yet, but he's still a friend.
All right, you're going to have to clam it up there, General. We're going to have to gag you.
You're going
to
gag me. Well, there's a hot one. Why?
I'm sorry, General. I got to do it for your own good.
Jesus. Unbelievable, man. All right. I'm sorry. We got to do that. We got to do what we got to do. A man got to do what a man got to do, you know? So, as we were saying, there is General Galen Shaw and Bob Bakin.
Well, I think that was a major thing happening in the show, Phil. I don't, you know, you're going to have to explain that.
What do you want me to explain?
Well, that was the general. Are you getting the police over here or are you not?
No, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. If he breaks the law, I will. But it's, thank God the guy's got,
Yeah, I got him tied down. Right now.
No, I had a gag. I had to just take a rag, anything, man. I found Mark. I'm sorry, but I had to use one of your tampons.
You did what?
I had to use a couple of your tampons to gag him.
A couple? Would you mind?
Well, I'm sorry, man, but I almost a whole box of your tampon.
Well, I mean, was that the only thing that was handy?
The only thing that was going to really shove really shove it right into his mouth. I mean, he has to have a smile on his face, but...
Why was he smiling? Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Because you told him they were your tampons?
I said don't tell...
All right, just everyone calm down so that we can begin to put this into perspective and we don't have to live like animals. All right, that's a very, very unfortunate thing. I can only say to you that the situation is... is this Bob?
Yeah.
Bob, we've got him tied down.
I think you got him tied down because I see him on the rooftop right now, right across here from the copter.
You see who?
I'm looking at General Shaw. He's right on the roof of the Phil Henry Radio Broadcast Center here at the El Pacifico. How are you doing?
You'll see. You'll see and you'll know, Bacon. By the sound of my voice and by the deeds that I do, you'll see and you'll know.
Did he?
I think these guys are...
Yeah, got him. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it, all right. What did you guys do?
I blew him out of the sky.
Yeah, you with what, your lips?
With my lips? Kick your ass with my lips. I blew that sucker out of the sky with an RPG.
Bud.
Right.
What are you guys doing?
You're going to see what we're going to do here, okay? Is he,
What are you trying to pull anyway?
I'm going to show you what I'm going to try to pull. Actually, I was going to try to pull this until I, Where the hell is the goddamn helicopter, man?
I know it is. It's on the audio.
We're going to get the helicopter sound effect back up here so you can hear that Bob Bacon is, in point of fact, still flying around out there and is not, or has not, been blown out of the sky, and you guys were trying to mess with me, but we couldn't get the helicopter sound effect up here fast enough, so why don't you just kiss my bare ass? What do you think about that? Oh, here he is here. Here is Bob Bacon now. Bob, you okay?
I'll be able to sit here all right. I'm fine.
Look, Nick, get him up on the phone, will you? Bacon.
Yeah, General, right here.
If we're going to pull a stunt like that, you can't say, hell, I'm fine. Henry couldn't even find your helicopter sound effect. We had these guys buffaloed.
Oh, there's no reason he's going to believe that I got blown out of the sky by an RPG. That means he's got to have you arrested and he's due for the show.
You know something? You're an idiot. You know that?
Oh, thank you very much. This is Bob Bacon.
No, you're an idiot. You're an idiot and I hate you.
Bob Bacon.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? I want you to I hope you run into another helicopter and the screams are heard for miles.
All right, thanks a lot. Bob Bacon, traffic.
See, it's not working.
That's Bob.
When you get off, when you land that chip, God damn.
All right, enough of this. Bull crap!
You're the guy that started it with all this funny joke around stuff.
Yeah, okay, I started. Doesn't mean that you gotta, you know, I was gonna say come in behind me, but that has a whole new amount of meaning.
Yes, it does. Next time, though, get that helicopter sound effect ready so that the timing is a little, because the timing on that entire thing was shot, excuse my French, and ladies and gentlemen, I know you'll understand, I've been in show business a long time, as has Phil. The timing on that was shot to shit, is the word, and again, I ask your forgiveness. Thank you very much. I do not ask your permission. I do ask you for your forgiveness. I ask your forgiveness. Oh, God, my neck is stuck. I ask your forgiveness. Not your permission. I'm Margaret Gray. Bud?
Oh, I bet you want the explosion.
Why would I want the explosion?
You get that. That doesn't sound like a helicopter getting blown apart either. All right, Phil Henry's show here is going to take a break, and we'll be back. Don Berman to talk about Pat Sajak. We got Putin and Hitler. We've got, oh, and this story is so disgusting.
You have to read that.
This story is so vile and so disgusting. You talk about wanting to get on top of a roof and fired an RPG. Police have arrested some scumbag that had a little girl, now a woman of 25, captive in a garage for 10 years. She was the daughter of a woman he was dating. This guy's name, Isidro Garcia, was arrested in Santa Ana. They are investigating this guy who had a woman kidnapped and imprisoned, according to police, for 10 years. A police statement said Garcia was arrested Monday. The little girl, this woman of 25 now, who had been a child, got in contact with her sister via Facebook. Police in the Orange County city of Santa Ana said the victim, whose name was not released, told police her mother was dating Garcia in 2004 when he drugged her and drove her to a house in Compton, where he held her in a locked garage. This was in 2004 when she was 15. Her mother reported her missing. Even with the opportunity to escape after years of physical and mental abuse, the victim saw no way out of her situation and lived a life with Garcia under sustained physical and mental abuse. See, people, it's like a lot of guys don't understand, you know, why doesn't she leave? Why doesn't she leave? You get to a point where you're so scared that they can find you anywhere. And they tell you that. I'll find you where, no matter where you go, I'll find you. And you believe it. You know, you believe it. They're going to find your ass. The minute you're out, there's the first thing that guy is going to be thinking about is, oh my God, there's going to be cops all over this place. That's the first, when he discovers that the girl or whoever it was that he kidnapped is missing, the first thing that guy in reality is thinking about, my ass is cooked. I better get out of here. I better head for the hills.
Well, there are some, though, Phil, that are obsessed.
There are some that are so mentally deranged. But even, let's say they were obsessed to the point where they want to find her. What do you think? These guys are can be invisible and omniscient?
You think a guy with his strength and everything will... Well, I'm not saying he could be invisible, but he could just have the power to find her.
Yeah.
No. Not unless he's so psychotically crazy or psychopathically driven that he convinces a whole lot of people besides the victim that he's going to just... I'm going to find... Don't you hide her from me because I'm on my way. There's people like that. But you know what they do with a mad dog? They put a bullet in a mad dog. This is what you do with people like that. You don't sit and talk and discuss. And the psychology of dealing with a psychopath is there is none. You know, you go in, and if he's endangering someone, you put one through his head, and there's the problem solved. It's as simple as no fuss, no muss.
Phil, the violent response that you countenance, don't you understand that there are psychological...
Margaret.
No, I will be heard. There are psychological ways of dealing with this.
Not with a psychopath. Not with a driven psychopath. Not with a guy who doesn't care, who says, I don't care. I'm going to take this situation. I'm taking this road. I don't care how many cops. This is what I'm going to do. Because those guys, you know how they solve their problems? They commit suicide. That's the last act of control. You are not going to take me in. You're not going to try me. You're not going to judge me. I will judge myself. I will choose the time and place of my death. I'm doing it now. Bang.
Well, then what about that?
Oh, that's great. That's after he's killed everybody else.
Well, you don't have to sit there feeling good. God damn.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, relax, will you?
God damn, homeboy.
Hey.
Excuse me, I gotta go find and see how many tampons I have left. After Robert shoved a lot of them down. Did he really shove them down your throat?
Yes, he did. And no, I didn't get a smile on my face because I knew they were yours. How would I know they... First of all, how can I smile with 15 tampons jabbed in my... God.
All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show with more of our news day here. Don Berman on Pat Sajak and other stuff that may come up or may not come up, if you'll pardon the expression, come up. World famous Phil Henry Show. Here is Woven War and All Rise. Pick the click here on the world famous Phil Henry.
Yes, this is General Galen Shaw. Your move.
I'm R.C. Collins. I'm going to be the next guest up on the Phil Henry Show coming up in a minute on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
War. Welcome back here. That's called All Rise. All Rise. We got R.C. Collins in here, and General Shaw, obviously, we'd love to hear your comments. R.C. Collins, a member of the Bradley Military Academy, student there.
Now, R.C., I know the Commandant out there, Commandant Wireman. How are you this morning?
I'm very good, General. It's good to talk with you and I, everybody on the fill-in, re-listening, the people that are listening.
All right, now, you heard my comments, and I heard Phil. Now, don't you agree, when you're dealing with this guy that kidnapped this girl, more to the point, a guy like Bacon with a big fat mouth.
Now, hold on for a minute.
No, wait a minute. How do you deal with a guy that's got the mouth on him like that?
Well, I mean, hold on for a minute. I got to take a breath.
Huh?
Okay, that's got it.
Just answer the question, Cadet.
Well, yes, sir. I would say that a guy like Bob Bacon with the big mouth, and he's...
Do the Bob Bacon impression. This killed me last night. We were having I gave the kid a beer, and my pants were off, but it was not any... Would you please explain?
Yeah, but General Shaw and I were... He gave me a beer, and he removed his pants just to say, this is how grown-up men do it. But I didn't... He didn't make me touch anything.
All right, would you knock it off with this conversation, please? We don't need this.
I'm not... I want certain things made perfectly clear, that R.C. was alone in my quarters with me. I removed my slacks and my shirt, and...
Did you show him some of those pinups?
I showed him what a lady and a man do. God damn it.
There wasn't any kind of dirty. There wasn't dirty at all.
Well, you guys, don't have him in your quarters.
Don't have him in your... I'll do what I feel is necessary.
Well, anyway, here's my Bob Bacon impression. Bob Bacon here and... Bob Bacon...
Isn't that... That's fantastic. That's exactly the way Bacon sounds.
Yeah, and then he goes like this. Bob Bacon, sold American.
Yeah, do you love it?
Yeah, that's great. Can we get back to what we're discussing here?
I forget what was the...
We're talking about Bob Bacon taking him out with an RPG.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Henry, you got to understand something from a military standpoint. Do you let a guy like that just go to... Or do you go ahead and smoke his ass and then, you know, count your chickens after they've hatched? Because I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry, you're talking about these politicians in Washington, D.C., trying to fight this war with one hand tied around their balls. Not me, no sir. So I see a guy like Bob Bacon floating around out there, giving faulty traffic, talking about Thailand and all the people that are down there, and he's not even there. Then he's talking about El Monte and stuff. What I do is I get that RPG, I go ahead, I fire around, I feel the recoil, I smoke his ass, and I'm sitting down having a cold beer while the debris is still hitting the pavement. Oh, yeah.
Now, that's what I call a soldier. What are your comments, Phil?
I think it's a lot of bravado.
Yeah, that very good word.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, bravado?
I think it's a lot of bravado. I think it's a lot of blah, 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 hot talk, just like Bob Bacon. If Bob Bacon showed up over the rooftops of your neighborhood, R.C., you wouldn't have the guts.
Oh, yeah? Boy, that... Why would I be afraid of Bob? Why would I be afraid of Bob Bacon?
Easy, Cadet. Why is this kid going to be afraid of a guy? Why would he be afraid of a silly little dick licker like Bob Bacon? A guy that never... Oh, man.
Yeah, you're attributing to Bob Bacon a lot of powers that Bob Bacon don't even have. Wait a minute, what is that?
That's Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. What's this little pull trap? Boy, this kid, he's a putt puller from way back. Think he's going to do that to me? No kid going to do anything like that to me. I'm Bob Bacon. I'll tell you that right now.
Let me tell you something, Bacon. I can smoke your ass in a country second. All I got to do is get the RPG, get that thing mounted.
Okay, I think I heard an explosion, but not quite.
Yeah, his car was a little loud.
Well, you can try and call the car. Try calling the car phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's no answer, I guess Bacon blew his ass right out of the...
Out of the sky? I don't think so.
I didn't say the sky. He's driving.
Hello? Yeah, hello? RC, yeah. Did you just get blowed up? You did. Well, where are you? Where's the car? The car got blowed... They blowed it up, huh? What? You're sitting in a seat? Well, what happened?
Give me that phone. Hey, RC... Can you talk? Well, you're obviously talking, yeah. Can we go on? You don't want to go on the air? Your pants are shredded. You're sitting in a bucket seat off the side of the road. Where are you? near the 605. Where's the car? On fire on the side of the road. No, I'm not laughing at you, man. I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. Will you listen to what I'm saying? I'm not... Yes, we'll call your dad. Yeah, okay, go ahead. He said he had to get off the line before he blacked out.
Oh, my God. So Bacon blew that thing to hell and back, huh?
Well, I don't know. All right, so...
Well, you know something? Now I take that personally. Bacon blasting that kid to hell and... You know, Bacon... Well, how do you like that guy? He said that he and I, he didn't blow me. I mean, I don't mean blow me.
You guys were pulling some kind of a gag, and so's this Collins. You guys are all running something on me this morning. That's fine, as long as it's funny, which I thought was moderately funny. The one you guys did wasn't.
Oh, get a load of you, the big critic.
Well, I think it is his show.
So you think the one we did...
I'm not going to discuss it. No, it sucked. It didn't suck. It was fine until the explosion with the... Never mind. Phil Henry's show here... Our number is 855-500-7445. What I'd like to do, if it's all the same to people, is get Don Berman in here and talk a little bit here about this Pat Sajak thing. Don knew Pat. I know you did, Margaret, but I want to find out whether Pat is for real on this thing where he says that everybody is a psycho case, you know, and you're a communist or you're a traitor and a racist if you believe in global warming or if you're a global warming alarmist. I don't know which it is. Don Berman joining us here from Temple City Pool in Temple City, California. I understand, Don, I don't know, what are you doing playing pool this morning? Isn't it kind of early for that?
Well, I'm going to have a little bit of a relaxing time here before I go into the office. One of the things that I don't think we do enough of is to relax, and I love to shoot a game of pool. It's relaxing. I don't particularly like going to the pool hall near the work, which is the Hollywood Billiards over there on La Brea, because the guys there are all ringers, and there's a lot of these pool sharps that come in, and they don't pay off their bets, and I just think the whole place, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there with your stick, if you'll pardon my expression. I didn't say the other word. I said stick, Margaret.
I heard you, yes.
So I'm over here at Temple City Pool.
So you travel all the way over to Temple City to play billiards because they don't welsh on bets?
They don't welsh on bets. They're gentlemen over here, all right? Last time I played over there at Hollywood Billiards, these guys are ha-ha-ha-ha, we don't like guys. They took me around the back and they grabbed my thumbs like they were going to break my thumbs like Paul Newman in The Hustler. And then they went, we're only kidding, ha-ha-ha, and then shook my hand. It was all a big misunderstanding. But I didn't find that funny, and I said, you know what? If it's all the same to you guys, I'd rather just go play pool someplace else because all you guys want to do is sit around here and see who you can rape from one day to the next.
All right, fine. All right, so I didn't know that we were going to spend so much time talking about your pool game. How is your pool game?
It's damn good. It's damn, and believe me, you don't want to try me. That's the last thing you want to do is try a guy like me.
Okay, we're having a technical problem, is that right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, we have Don Berman on the line with us here from Temple City Billiards, and we're talking about Pat Sajak. Now, what you know, Pat, and you know that he is a decent guy, a funny guy. Is he really, you know, the right wing whack job that he appeared to be?
Well, first of all, I don't think he was a right wing whack job. I think he made a statement that some people think is wacky, but I think that that's probably what normal people think about each other's political opinions. But he was being over the top, and people are ready to jump all over Pat. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Pat, but I also suspect that at some point in the past, he might have bumped his head or fallen off a motorcycle. I don't know what could happen. I'm just thinking, did he fall off a motorcycle? Did he go... was he diving into a swimming pool with no water in it?
Well, how likely is that?
I don't know, but I think there might have been a head injury that causes him to just blurt out these dumb things, you know. And I don't know if you know, Phil, but Larry Jeffcoat, who was a friend of mine, came out with that whole thing about how we evolved from, it wasn't monkeys, I think he said that we evolved from...
Yeah, I think he said that the man evolved from another kind of animal. I forget what it was.
Yeah, like a lizard or a possum or something like that. So I sort of thought, well, maybe, you know, Pat's suffering from the same kind of brain injury, but I have yet to ask him about that.
Well, his comment is not so extreme that it sounds like it's a brain injury, is it?
I don't know. You say that everybody is a racist and unpatriotic because they are global warming alarmists. That's one thing. But if you blurt out that you think man evolved from a fruit, I think that's what it was, Phil, a pear. Is that what that was?
Jeff Coates said we evolved from pears?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Well, I don't remember that at all.
Well, let's say Pat Sajak said that, okay? Not that he did, but let's say that he did. Then I would have him committed. I would sign the papers myself if there's no family member around. And even if there was a family member around, I would take control of the situation and say, I'm sorry, I know you don't think that your brother, cousin, whatever he is to you, is mentally deranged, but I'm signing these papers, and I'm going to have him in lockdown before you people can get up off the toilet, wipe, and answer the phone. How do you feel about that? I'm sorry, I'm very emotional.
All right, Don, let's take a break, okay?
Thank you.
Don Berman is with us, talking about Pat Sajak's comments on Twitter about anyone that's a global warming alarmist is a racist and unpatriotic. And, of course, Pat Sajak made the statement later he was joking. And I can see that. I can believe that. But if you are of the mindset originally that global warming is some kind of a trick or perhaps is overhyped, then people are not going to see that as a joke. They're going to see it as an extension of your normal philosophy. Don Berman knows Pat, says that he's probably joking, although there have been statements in the past he's made that would tend to make him want to sign the, quote, sign the papers on him.
Well, what's the thing about evolving from a navel orange?
That was not Pat Sajak. That was not a navel orange. It was a pear. Is that what he said?
Yeah, a pear. I mean, what is that? So,
but that wasn't Pat Sajak. That was the Jeffcoat twins.
Yeah, well, that's right. The two Jeffcoat, the twins, he said one guy.
Well, there's two of them. The Jeffcoat twins are notorious in Hollywood. They go in and out of clubs and restaurants saying crazy things. And people obviously know that they're twins, so that when one says one thing, they just simply say both of them are the scum of the earth. And they tried that, you know.
Wait. The Jeffcoat twins do what?
The Jeffcoat twins pop into restaurants and sit down and order some meal that they never pay for and say,
why don't they pay for it?
Because they think it's funny to beat the sea, okay? So
these two guys are producers, right?
Yes.
Why can't they afford to pay for their meals?
Because they think it's funny.
Yeah, it's just kicks.
It's kicks.
Can I finish?
All right, and then we desperately got to take a break.
All right. So the Jeffcoat twins, they'll say something crazy like Hitler was great. Now, they both get beat up for it because everyone assumes, well, I don't know which twin said it, so let's go ahead and beat both of them up.
Yeah, and well, see, the problem was there, they thought that they could get away with it by simply saying, oh, it's not me, my brother said that. And people would then go looking for the other guy, and the other guy would say, my brother said it, so they never knew who to beat up, you see?
Right.
So now they just go ahead and beat both of them up.
Who's beating up who?
Whoever's offended by the, like, for instance, this last comment they made over at Joffrey's there in Malibu. You were talking about Joffrey's. They made the comment, oh, Hitler was fantastic. I love him. I think something like that. Well, I don't know who found him. Some actor. They found both of them in different places, beat both of them up, and also apologized in case they got the wrong twin.
Does anybody get arrested?
No, because the Jeffcoat twins know that if they... Never mind, Phil. You asked way too many questions. You know that?
Yeah, Mr. Ernie. Just live with it.
Yeah, go live with it.
Oh, live with it. Okay. Well, I'll just let you guys say anything you want.
Look, Phil, you can ask questions. The point is, you start asking all these questions, you really start to... You're bugging me. Almost like there's a softball jammed up there.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's take our break here then. Don't want to do that. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, we're on TuneIn, mobile and live. We're on Listen Live, mobile and live on our website, Phil Hendry Show website. So if you go and it says live and you click that, it says listen live, it says watch live. You can listen live if you are one of our Backstage Pass. You can watch it live if you're one of our Backstage Pass members. But you can listen live every day, no matter who you are. Here's Kid Ink.
Tell the fuck that, nigga.
This is called Main Chick. And this is the guy that brought us Miracles, Money and Power. This is Main Chick, Kid Ink. Phil Hendry Show.
I know your name, but you heard my name.
Whoa.
I know why you came.
Trying to get that
name, but you heard my name.
Girl, I know you want to be my main chick.
tell her fuck that nigga.
World famous Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Sansa's Sales. For those of you that sail for recreation or competitively, Sansa's Sails, made out of high quality canvas and nylon. These sails can withstand anything. I came through the Straits of Gibraltar following a regatta in the Mediterranean Ocean. I was there with Wilbon Harris and Carl Karlicki. You don't know these people, they're sailors. But for 5 days, we were lashed by the most terrible storms and typhoons that I think the Mediterranean had ever seen. I hadn't had water. I hadn't had anything to eat. In fact, I had to cannibalize Wilbon Johnson. That's his name. I should know a man's name if I ate his flesh, don't you think? Well, that's exactly what I did. But through it all, even with two dead crewmen, and oh yeah, I ate there was a cat and a dog that we brought along as just to be the sailboat's cat. Well, forget that. They were food. They were breakfast. But you know what was left? The beautiful Sansa sails that we purchased over here at Sanborn Sales. I don't know where it is. I forget. My memory's been wiped clean by the experience. This is General Galen Shaw saying, if you're going sailing anytime soon, don't bring your cat or dog. And don't bring me. But make sure you've got your Sansa sail ready to go.
Fly, motherfucker, everything is important. Don't try to act too important. I know you game. You got a game.
You know, I think you need help.
Why are you saying that?
What do you mean you ate both of the...
Excuse me, that's the commercial I did. It's none of your business.
Come on, everybody. Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News. We continue talking here about Pat Sajak and whether or not his brain is come unglued. You talk about brain injury. Now, first of all, let's just, get this right. Sajak's comments on Twitter, which were obviously... which were then taken and refuted or rebutted or mocked on Twitter by other people, he says were said jokingly.
You know, I understand that, Phil, but knowing Pat as I know him, he has a very strong opinion, and I think that if any of us say anything that's over the top, and we see that the mood in the room has changed, we will immediately say, oh, I'm only kidding. So I think it's a natural response.
Well, Phil, you do that a lot. Oh, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, I do it a lot, and we're not going to get sidetracked and talk about me right now, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, whatever you say. What a dickhead. Oh.
Let's go get a cigar.
You know what, Margaret? This is my show.
I understand that. You don't have to jump me like you're some abusing man. You don't have to jump me, Phil, like it's, oh, great dinner. Let's get those panties off because the wrestling's on at 10.
What a piece of work she is, huh?
And I'll thank you very much, Don, not to comment.
Hey, you're going to go have a cigar? Go have a cigar. So, Don, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that this is something that I think happens. And Pat, like I said, I love Pat. I think he's one of the funniest guys I know. I think that he's made quite a career for himself. Don't tell me that Pat Sajak is... Here's a guy that started out doing weather there in L.A. Well, I don't know how he started out, but he was doing the weather in L.A., and he gets himself a thing, you know, whatever. What do you call that, a game show? Pat and I were both up-and-coming news people. We were on prominent news shows. I was on Channel 19. He was over on Channel 4, the NBC affiliate. He's doing the traffic and the weather, I should say. And I had started out doing sports, and I was doing weather. And I was doing everything at Channel 19. He gets a job, and suddenly he is the national host of a game show that is absolutely through the roof, a hit. And I'm still getting into the news van and driving over to film a cat getting pulled out of a manhole or, you know, something. So I was resentful, yes. I was very resentful of Pat, of the people that hired him. But I tried to swallow my pride and move forward. And then I won an Emmy for my report on hot air ballooning in Pasadena. But that was the same night that Pat won his Grammy, or he won his Emmy for hosting Wheel of Fortune. Did anyone pay any attention to me? The answer to that question, of course, is a resounding no, they did not. Did anyone even know that I'd won an Emmy? No, they did not. So I had to chew and swallow, and excuse me for saying this, and then shit out a whole lot of humiliation. And it was something that I did.
And yet Pat Sajak is still your friend.
Pat Sajak is still my friend. He's still my friend, and while his career has been a resounding success, and he's had that lovely Vanna White, I don't think she's on the show anymore because I don't think that they can, I don't think they can legally put a woman that old, I shouldn't say old, but potentially she could look, it wouldn't look good, you know, with this an old lady standing there, so I think legally...
Wait. You know, let's. This is ridiculous. I don't want to talk about her, okay? Because it's starting to sound like we're insulting Vanna White. She's a beautiful woman, and she's made a nice career.
Oh, yeah, she's made a nice career. I'm just talking about Pat is still on the show, and Vanna White is now sitting in a rocking chair. I don't know where she is. Vanna White is she's probably off doing yogurt commercials or something. But by the way, Jamie Lee Curtis, boy, they're really taking out a little. She's the lady. She's the Miss Yogurt, and she's also identified herself with regular bowel movements. And I think that Jamie Lee Curtis has gone from being a real piece to an old lady with an arthritic neck.
Excuse me, I'm willing on this. What are you saying? Jamie Lee Curtis is one of the most beautiful and engaging and talented women in Hollywood. I think you really, really ought to watch that.
Excuse me, Margaret. I'm talking to Phil. That's number one.
All right, and he is talking to me, Margaret. But Don, I want you know Margaret to give you that opinion. I mean, you're talking about Jamie Lee Curtis. We were talking about Pat Sajak.
Yeah, we're talking about Pat Sajak and the fact that I think he suffered a brain injury. A brain injury, my friend. All right, that's why he's over there on Twitter going yeah, bouncing off the walls at NBC, going out to his car, laughing, throwing his jacket in the air until it hits an oil slick. Speeding off with the exhaust barely settled.
Is he doing all of that?
No, I don't know, but I can well imagine it with having run his head through one of those freeway barriers. Good Christ, think about it.
Wait a minute, wait.
Are you saying that Pat Sajak has done that?
Wait a minute.
I'm just saying he could have, given the way he's acting, and you got Margaret saying, oh, don't talk about Vanna White. I'll talk about Vanna White any way I want.
Will you calm down, please, for 5 seconds, calm down?
Yes.
You don't have to get pissed off because Margaret came in there and simply said what she said about Vanna White. You don't need to slam her.
I'm telling you that Pat Sajak has had to wade through the deepest, most fetid, most corrosive stench that anyone in Hollywood has ever had to wade through, and he's come out smelling like a rose. He's come out, he has stuck his nose into the asshole of Hollywood. And it smells like Old Spice. All right? It smells like an asshole that had Old Spice put on it, but it smells a lot better than
Okay, that's great.
Well, Phil, you know the point I'm trying to make here.
The point you're trying to make is Pat Sajak has worked very hard, has come a long way, and doesn't deserve all of this critique, and should be understood as having been joking, although you are worried for your friend.
I'm worried for Pat because... there are times when he just says these crazy things. But like I said, he's no crazier than the Jeffco twins. And the Jeffco twins say mentally deranged things.
But they get their asses kicked.
Well, that is true, yeah.
See, I happen to know who you're talking about. The Jeffco twins will go out. They'll go into some restaurant, into some nightclub. They'll be standing on a soundstage somewhere. And they'll say something like, oh, wouldn't it be neat to kidnap a 13-year-old girl and have a child with her and keep her in a garage for 20 years? Ha ha ha. Well, once the word leaks out, the Jeffco twins aren't worth 2 cents. Not as far as their noses being perfectly aligned, you can kiss that off. So when someone finds them. And he says, oh, no, my name is Marty Jeffcoat. That was my brother Steve. They'll say, well, we don't care. We don't care who did it. You get it.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, that's one of the marching themes of your show.
Yeah, I've said that. I don't know who the Jeffcoat twins are. Given the stuff they say, according to you guys, I don't want to know them. And I, frankly, don't. I find it hard to believe that they get beat up on a regular basis. These two guys are what? They're directors?
No, they're producers.
I find it very hard to believe.
You're calling me a liar. Is that what you're calling?
No, I'm not calling you a liar. Do you know this out of personal experience? Do you know a personal experience that the Jeffco twins have said this stuff and gotten beat up?
I've heard about it, okay?
All right, well, that ain't good enough.
Well, Phil, everyone's heard about it.
I'm just going to tell you, we're not talking about them. We're talking about this guy, Sajak, the stuff he said. Now, you're telling me that he says wild stuff?
I've known Pat to say goofy things. I've known him to stand in the parking lot at Channel 4, back when he was doing weather, and he'd say, watch this, and he'd throw his jacket in the air. This is a $3,000 suit. Throws his jacket in the air. It lands in an oil slick. He cackles like a chick, gets into his Porsche, and speeds off out of the parking lot. They barely get the barrier raised, almost hits two people, and screams ass out of Burbank with the exhaust. I've seen him do that. But I've also seen him break down and cry over a tiny little kitten. And, you know, that's why I wonder if somewhere along the line, you mentioned Pat diving into a swimming pool with no water. And I've heard about that, so...
I know you mentioned that. Did he do that?
When did he do that?
There was something having to do with the fact they drained his pool in the backyard, and he said, it doesn't make any difference to me. I paid $60,000 for that GD pool, and I'm going to swim in it. And he dove in headfirst into the concrete, and they said, are you okay? And he said, it feels good. I feel right, and, you know. So
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Why'd you hang up on him?
Because he's full of crap. Don will do that. He'll come on this program. Gee, I really don't have anything to talk about. I know Phil wants to talk about this. I'll just make some stuff up.
Are you swimming, Sammy?
Well, what are you talking about? The guy dove into an empty swimming pool. And the Jeffcoat twins, but you say you've heard that.
Oh, that's everyone in Hollywood knows. The Jeffcoat twins, they're obviously twins. They're identical twins. They didn't get, you know, the goods. They didn't get the real good cheese like the Coens or the Farley. No, they're sort of a second, a B or C level Coen brothers. And so to get a little bit more of the love and the tabloid, to get some tabloid time, they run around to all of these nightclubs and they'll sit and have lunch, at the Ivy and say crazy things like, God, how I'd love to get a chapter of the Aryan Brotherhood going right here at the Ivy. Oh, God, I'd love it so. I was there one day when someone said that they'd heard that. And so someone will turn around and say, really? And boom, and he'll say, I didn't say it. And then the guy that punched him will say, I don't care who did it, you got it. What are you looking at me? You're looking at me, Phil, like an odor is coming off of me that only the elephant man could... Excuse me.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but...
Oh, come on, man. What is that story she just told? We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show with more of this marvelous, marvelous conversation. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Amity Affliction, don't lean on me. Reminder, our website, philhenryshow.com. Go get a backstage pass. With a backstage pass, an all-access backstage pass, you badass. No one can touch you. Well,
call the police.
Let the ocean take me.
Margaret Gray, you're listening to the Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico.
You gotta know, kid.
Oh, God.
Legend ADC.
God.
Still take on all of your gravy. Yeah, you gotta believe me.
Well, don't lean on me, cause I am falling. Please don't fall with me. I really need you here. Yeah, I need you so to believe. And don't count on me, cause I am drowning. Please don't drown with me.
Affliction, the Phil Hendry Show here. Welcome back here. You listen to our podcast, or you're listening live, one of the two, and you can listen live every morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. If you're doing that right now, well, then you know that. And we start at 8:30, actually, with our Backstage Pass pre-show, and this month we're giving away freebies to all of our Backstage Pass people. We've got prizes for them, and presents, and conversation, and groovy, you know, things like that.
Now, where did people call from this morning?
We had this morning Utah, Florida, and Northwest Texas. A chap who, his name is Spurt Reynolds.
Yeah, that's the best username.
It's Spurt Reynolds. God almighty.
Yeah. And Spurt...
good. His name... What is his name?
It's a username, Margaret. Spurt Reynolds.
Oh, God.
What is that? That sounds... Jesus H.
Right, so anyway... Spurt, we lost him, and I'm assuming that we'll get him via the email, and then we'll find out what you want, Spurt, for your, you know, your backstage, your Backstage Pass prize.
You see, you're laughing, Spurt. Ooh.
Oh, will you take it easy, Mark? What are you going to do, huh? It's the world we live in. Sorry, but that's his name. If you didn't want to be exposed to this crudidity, as Bud would say, then you didn't have to be a part of the show.
I came on this program to be, I think, a counterweight to the garbage. To the garbage. You know?
You mean garbage?
No, I said to the garbage. That is the... don't forget it.
Yeah, that's the French pronunciation.
Yes, it is. Garbage.
Say that again?
Wait. The garbage.
Yes, that's how you say garbage. Pronounce garbage in France. Garbage.
Okay, it's gabbage, but whatever it is, you came on here to counterbalance the gabbage.
Yes, I came on to counterbalance the gabbage, and guess what? I've got you guys going, when a guy calls himself Spurt Reynolds because he wants to advertise the fact that I guess he's...
No, I think it's just a guy being a smartass. All right. Green billionaire prepares to attack anti-science Republicans. Jack Armstrong is going to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show and talk about this. This is ongoing. As you know, the Koch brothers, whoever the hell they are and whatever they are, they got a lot of bread. I know that, and they're all kinds of people are wigging out about them. But we're going to discuss with Jack Armstrong what's going on in terms of this battle, in terms of the battle of information, in terms of the propaganda battle that is happening. Excuse me, with global climate change. Jack in Minneapolis, Minnesota this morning. How are you, Jack?
Very good, Phil. It's good to be on the program. Thank you.
So what's going on with the this guy? His name is Treyer?
Yeah, Steve Treyer is a guy that is a billionaire of from the green industries. You know, we're talking about environmental industries, and he has joined up with other entrepreneurs, and they have created some different technologies and different ideas to help the human race in the battle that we have with global warming that is definitely taking its toll right now. You know, the Koch brothers and other conservative neocons, they want you to believe there's no such thing as the global warming. Well, I'm here to tell you that, yes, there is. And for people not to even be aware of that is really disappointing. I think Mr. Treyer and others are going to try to counterbalance what the Koch brothers is doing, and I think they'll do it very effectively. But the time is of the essence. I have written blogs. I have gone to the major publications in the Twin Cities and elsewhere. Would you please print this? Yes, maybe, no, maybe, but I haven't seen anything that I've written. I have tried to call in to the different talk shows to talk to the talk show host and to say, my name is Jack Armstrong, and if I could just read something, and I get some guy on the other end of the phone going, we ain't got time for that. We're playing the boogie-woogie game, or we're doing a trivia contest. And I all I can do, the only form of protest, is to just say into the phone, I hope you and your whole family.
It's very emotional, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's emotional for Jack, but Phil's laughing.
Yeah, what did you say?
I said it's emotional for you, Jack, but Phil was laughing.
Wow.
Me laughing at it.
I don't know. I was laughing at the fact that Jack Armstrong was calling into these talk shows and they were saying they're playing a trivia game. We haven't got time for your
Isn't that funny?
Oh, well, okay, Margaret, you know. Am I a global climate denier, climate change denier?
No, you're not, but I don't think, Phil, you understand. Ron Tarner has been on this program.
Ron Tarner, every guy we get on this show...
Oh, I see. It's the guest's fault. It's the guest's fault that we don't get the word out. Do you know what's going to happen, Phil? Do you understand that the sun will burn so hot in the sky that people's skin will begin to burn off? Screaming human beings in the middle of freeways? Screaming, going across the street to get your laundry, and suddenly your skin burns off. You want that?
Do you want to get serious here, or do you want to...
Excuse me?
Margaret, are you trying... Why don't you get back on the planet Earth, will you?
I am on the planet Earth. It is possible that the ozone will burn off spontaneously, the sun will cook so hot that you'll be wheeling out of a liquor store with a bottle of your favorite Red Eye, and you'll suddenly drop to your knees screaming and burst into flames.
Here she goes.
Yes, here I go.
You know something, Margaret? Your dramatics don't help.
I'm not being dramatic.
Yes, you are. No one believes you. You're mentally deranged, okay?
Am I as crazy as that other nut? Who was the guy, the Jeffco twins?
No, that other nut was Pat Sajak. No, what are you doing now?
I'm in the bathroom looking over these new fixtures.
All right, so...
What's the deal here?
There's no sun that's going to burst into flames. The deal that's happening right now... And Armstrong, if you're listening right now, I'm sorry, man, but you calling into talk shows trying to get somebody in the Twin Cities to publish...
Hello? Yeah, he's on the phone right now.
Who?
Jack Armstrong.
Jack, listen, I am sorry. I'm sorry, okay?
Well, you can be sorry if you want to be, Phil. You can be sorry. You can say that you're, very sorry. But try to be me. Try to be me. I'm here every day. I look around me, and I'm living in St. Paul, Minnesota. I live in a big brick building, and I look out onto, what am I looking at? You know, I'm looking out on the Midwest, and it's a very beautiful area, but I would prefer to be in Chicago. I'd prefer to be maybe in New York. I would prefer to be maybe in Boston, but I'm in Annapolis and the St. Paul area. So I write my blogs and I write my screeds about global climate change because this is a good place to be here in Minnesota, where the weather gets very cold, but today it's very hot and it's humid, and there's a smell coming off the Mississippi River, which runs right through the middle of St. Paul. It's not an uplifting smell. It's the smell of dead foliage and boat fuel. And you walk around this town, and you wonder: is there ever going to be a woman that's single that you know is under 300 pounds? So there's a lot of stuff that I have to say.
Look, Jack.
Excuse me. Excuse. I'm not done yet.
Go ahead.
So I go back to my typewriter, I type out a few words about global climate change, I come on your show, and I'm laughed at. Laughed at like I'm a little man, like a midget working in a funhouse. Like the little tiny man that got laughed at in that book by the little man that killed, he had a knife, he's going to kill everybody because he worked in the funhouse and there was a guy... laughed at him when he was in front of the funhouse mirrors.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Well, there's something wrong with him, too.
Why is there something wrong with him?
There's something wrong with a guy that takes any topic like that personally. There's something wrong with a guy that is throwing his jacket in the air and the exhaust is settling. There's something wrong with somebody like you, Margaret, that has to leave the room every time I give you some criticism or I comment on how you are presenting your point of view. There's something wrong with anybody that's getting up constantly and leaving a room. I'm sorry.
All right, let's say there's something wrong with me, okay? But let's say there's something wrong with you. Let's say there's something wrong with the way that you go, no matter what the topic. It could be death. It could be the death of a child. It could be the death of an Indian, the death of a woman or a Jewish person, the death of an African American.
What about the death of a white guy?
What about it? But you, Phil, you and only you. It was you.
That's the Marlon Brando.
Yes, it was, yes. And at the waterfront?
On the waterfront. All right, thanks a lot, Margaret. That's great.
Well, what are you blowing this off for?
I'm blowing it off because your guest hung up. I'm blowing it off because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm blowing it off, all right? I'm just blowing the whole GD thing off. Here, you can read the story.
Well, I want everyone out there to remember this name. The name is Steve Treyer. He is a his name is Tim Steyer. No, it's Bob Geyer.
Give me the name. It's Tom Steyer.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Tom Steyer is set to unleash a 7-state, $100 million offensive against Republican... What do you want, bud?
I'm going to talk to Phil. This guy is on the phone.
Who?
This guy, Jack Armstrong.
Hey, Jack, what do you want? You hung up on me twice.
I just want to say... Okay, when you come to my... Fuck it.
All right, you happy?
He called me. I didn't call him up to mock him.
All right. Dave Dugan.
Tom Steyer.
All right, Tom Steyer is backing an outside group called... What is this? Nextagoon?
Next Gen.
Sorry, Next Gen Climate has billed itself as a progressive pro-environmental counterbalance to the wealthy and... Oh, it's boring. But you know, I want you all to support Tom Steyer.
Yeah, because he's going up against the Koch brothers.
Yeah, he is going up against the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers.
You said Koch.
The Koch brothers. And is going to try to counter the destructiveness of this... Of these two men. These two men, the Koch brothers, I would take a million Jeffcoat twins before I would want the Koch brothers anywhere near me with their leering and their drooling and their hate toward anything that is small, lives in a forest, and sips delicately water from a stream.
They hate that.
They hate it. The Koch brothers hate anything that sips water delicately and gently from a tinkling, trinkling little stream and has fur and a cute little butt that sticks in the air. The Koch brothers would rather take a flamethrower. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey. All right, well, that was a very good, counter there. Okay, so, Jack, if you're listening, Margaret just kicked ass.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to come back here on the Phil Henry Show, our final segment here this morning, and as I say, we got some biz to do. Later on, we are going to be out at the Improv in Hollywood, and we're going to be talking with our close personal friends out there, Darren McAvee, and taking a look at the stage and the place, and maybe I'll want to put in a popcorn machine. I'm just kidding. It's gonna be, got some business to do later. Be right back. Phil Henry Show. Now, this is Robert Leonard. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Remember, you can get good travel deals at Porto. Good travel deals at Porto. If you travel by boat, if you travel by canoe, if you travel by canal, if you do anything that requires a paddle, and you're in a boat, okay, bud?
Yes, I was going to say you paddle it.
No, if you paddle it, but you're in a boat, Porto is the place to go for your travel tips. If you fly, if you drive, if you do anything else, they can't help your ass. But there are people still taking boats, canoes, you know, trying to find a Northwest Passage, that kind of, there ain't no Northwest Passage. You know what I'm saying? If Lewis and Clark had been around when Porto was around, man, Lewis and Clark, they would have found a Northwest Passage. You bet that, man. We'll understand that right now. All right, it's Porto. For all your travel needs, if you travel by canoe, use a paddle, dress in buckskin, you know, tie people to stake and set fire to them and have their women and raise their children as Indians.
Yes, it's Porto for your travel needs.
Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com from the El Pacifico.
Tell me what your name is. I don't really care who you came with. Unless you got a couple friends look like you. My bad if my ex...
All right, that's Kid Ink on the Phil Henry Show, and that is called Show Me. So anyway, you know, we were on a program here not too long ago. Now, what are you... Just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Oh, you know, you're going to be hearing an awful lot here in the next few days because it's finally breaking on both networks, and that's the VA scandal, the Veterans Administration. And, General, I know these are important topics to you.
Hey, let me tell you something. Anybody mistreats our veterans, and they've got me to deal with, and friend, I don't come alone. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Well, I understand that. Now, there is a brewing controversy, and that has to do with the waiting that some of our vets have had to endure before they get medical treatment at the Veterans Administration. Now, they better get their shit together on this. I personally, this is one American, I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how veterans have constantly have these difficulties. I'm sick and tired of hearing about VA hospitals that are garbage cans. Sick and tired of hearing about all of that stuff, you know? That should not be. You know, the government ought to do a thing like this. The government ought to, like a lot of cities do with golf courses, lease these hospitals to professionals. Do they do that?
I don't know. I think that's a very good idea. I don't know how that would work.
Well, what you do is you bring in a professional company that knows how to run a hospital, and they pay a lease. Now, you know, and so the government basically is paying them a nice percentage. I don't know how it works, but you know, you pay them, and I don't know how it would work when how they make their money. They're not charging anything, but they are getting money from any VA, the doctors themselves, etc., are getting money. It's being paid for by the government. Well, bring in a professional organization to run these hospitals and to run this program, because we've got this is a mess, man. You know, somehow put together Obamacare with the VA so that we have some level of competence based upon a strong competitive paradigm of some kind. I don't know, but it's disgusting, man. So you're going to be hearing an awful lot about that in the days and weeks to come. And when I say it's been breaking, like, I've been watching Fox News dealing with this for weeks, and finally CNN this morning got their head out of their ass, and they started talking about it. All right, Phil Hendry Show. We have Harvey Wyman's going to come on here and talk about something that we found rather interesting, and that is this story having to do with Putin. And Harvey, are you at the office right now?
Yeah, this is Harvey Wyman.
Are you at the office?
Yeah, well, we just showed up at the office just minutes ago, but I had the newspaper out. I'm just getting out of the car right now. So
now, Prince Charles, he of the royal family, was visiting, I think, I don't know where he was. Oh, he's in Canada, and he made the comment that Hitler's 1939 invasion of Poland is comparable to Russia's annexation of Crimea. He said this in a private conversation during his trip to Canada. The Moscow Foreign Ministry said that Russia wanted an explanation from Britain about whether Charles expressed that view and whether the wider British government shares it. If these words indeed were said, they don't befit a future British monarch. We consider the use of a member of the British royal family by the Western press for waging a propaganda campaign against Russia over the pressing international issue, the situation in Ukraine, as unacceptable, outrageous, and base.
Here's the facts. I love how these guys in Russia like to talk all this smack, but the fact of the matter is the annexation of Crimea has a great resonance and does bear comparison with Hitler, not so much Poland as the invasion of as the annexation of the Sudetenland and the Rhineland and these non-violent but nonetheless aggressive actions. And Hitler made the comment, well, this is all we want. We're not going to go any further. But he did destabilize elections, and they formed all kinds of mayhem among the local, the citizenry. The story that I have in front of me, if you look at this, and I love these Ruskies, you know, the guy here from the Foreign Ministry.
Foreign Ministry?
Oh, the Foreign Ministry. What's the G? That's all right. The Foreign, that's foreign, huh?
Yeah. You know how to read, don't you?
Yes, I know how to read, Phil. I'm an attorney.
Okay, well, Foreign.
I don't have my right glasses. My granddaughter brought me these Bozo glasses again.
I got to, you know, I'm standing here.
Why can't you get your regular reading glasses with you instead of your granddaughter, who's 4 years old, bringing you those big Disneyland glasses?
Because I've got a good relationship with my granddaughter, all right? She loves her grandpa, and she wants to help him when he goes to work in the morning. Is there a big deal about that?
No, there's nothing wrong with that, man. But when she brings you glasses that are oversized, that are gigantic glasses, don't you know those aren't yours?
All she brings me is a canvas. She brings me a duffel bag. I'll say, get grandpa's glasses, and she drags a duffel bag in.
She drags a duffel bag in.
Well, are you in the habit of bringing a duffel bag to work?
I'm in the habit of bringing a lot. I've got a lot of files. Have you ever seen what an attorney brings into a courthouse or to his office? We've got it on those damn suitcase carriers. Some days we need one of those. I'd need a damn forklift. Are you nuts or something? You guys ought to get with it and figure out what we're doing. We got more paperwork, more crap that we got to read. And then we got to write more crap than we read. So when my granddaughter drags a duffel bag into the room, that looks like just another day at the office for me.
What do you take to work in a duffel bag?
Wouldn't you like to know? Maybe I bring my lunch. What business is it of yours? The fact is, I bring everything. Duffel bags. I bring steamer trunks.
Steamer trunks?
Yes, steamer trunks. Am I telling you your business? So, you know...
Well, all right, General, but... I mean, not General,
I wish I was a general. Believe me, I wish I was on a government paycheck right now than working for some of the dumb stumble bums that I work for, and I got a granddaughter dragging the big bozo glasses in a duffel bag. Sorry. Where were we?
Wow.
I'm sorry, okay? Where were we?
You were saying the Foreign Ministry.
All right, the Foreign Ministry. Excuse me. Look, this guy, I'll give you the bottom line. This prince, the guy with the ears, he's right. Now, Putin may not be wanting to build concentration camps, but he's acting the exact same way Hitler did when he says, well, you know, this election isn't legal, and you guys are mistreating the ethnic minority. We heard all of this stuff before in the 30s. Now, let me read on. The Russian embassy in London, in a statement, said it's official.
The Russian embassy in London in a statement.
All right, Phil. I've got the bozo glasses.
Where do you go to get your regular glasses?
Is this bugging you that much? Let me just get through it.
You might as well let him read it, Phil.
Jesus H. Christ.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are sorry. You're the sorry.
Look, you know, Harvey, this is General Shaw. I know what you're going through. Just read it, and then let's get out of this. Let's get out of here, okay? I gotta go. I got things I need to do. If I don't get to the store and get one of those, I gotta get a portable enema.
I understand.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, okay, huh? Listen, friend, you try.
All right, the show will be over. Go ahead.
The Russian embassy in London. So the embassy is what?
The embassy is where where the foreign representatives of a government are in any country.
What the hell is that? Oh, okay. You mean like a consulate?
It's an embassy, yeah, a consulate.
All right. The embassy in London, in a statement, said its officials were meeting British Foreign Affairs counterparts Thursday to seek official clarific action of the Prinkers remarks. Okay?
Yeah, that's great.
You know what, man? I got people to go and places to see. So fuck.
You know, a lot of people are angry, and I think, Phil, you need to back it off a little bit.
Wait. I'm not going to buy that.
Well, Phil.
No, I'm not buying that. No. You're not making this about me, okay? You know, this is the way it is, you know? Well, Phil, that guy, he can't read. You got the Beckwith or whatever the hell they're called.
You mean the Jeffcoats?
Yeah, the Jeffcoat twins.
Where'd you get Beckwith?
I don't know. You've got Pat Sajak diving into an empty swimming pool. You've got the other guys with their Hitler jokes. All the other nutty things that have been going on. You bawling, the general crying, blowing this guy out of the sky, this Bob Bakian getting an RPG up his ass, whatever you guys are doing. And it's ha, 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 let's play a joke on Phil.
Well, that's the problem. We've been screwing around with you today, and you're all,
yeah, Mr. Man, yeah, just, you know, lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, lighten up, man.
What do you mean, lighten up, okay? I'm doing a show, and you guys are screwing around. Lighten up. I mean, okay, it was funny, but it could have been funnier.
Well, it might have been funnier if you weren't standing there staring at us like we were, like we just come out of the hills, and the movie's called The Hills Have Eyes, but we're not the mutants. We were up there just mining for silver and also looking around for a good lot to put a house on, and we come down out of the hills, and you look at us like we're the mutants, you see? See what I'm saying, right?
No, I don't,
Stop, not The Hills Have Eyes.
The hills have eyes, so you were up in the hills. So you're...
We're not the mutant.
The mutants are up there, but we were up there as just normal-looking people.
Staking out some property for a house.
Yes.
And I'm looking at you as if you were the mutants.
Yes, that's the... Exactly. Oh, thank you, God. You get it, then.
You know, you guys might want to work on your comparisons. That's, you know...
Oh, I see, it's our fault.
No, not at all, not at all. I just would say that I didn't really get that at all. And you might want to work on some other cooler ways of saying stuff.
That's pretty cool, though, you know, if you come down out of the mountain.
Yeah, if you're coming down out of the mountain, what's wrong with that?
If I'm coming down out of the mountain, what's wrong with that? If it's the mountains where the people live in the hills have eyes...
Yeah.
But I'm not one of them. I'm just a regular guy. Okay? And I'm... So what, you know?
Well, you're looking at us as if we are the mutant.
Right, I understand.
Now, what's wrong with that?
It's just you could just simply say something like, don't look at me like I'm one of the bad guys, I'm one of the good guys. How about that?
Well, it's very colorless. It's... God. You know, for a person of great imagination, Phil, you really...
Yeah, you really lay an egg, Phil. Talk about that.
Phil, you call me Mr. Henry.
Sorry, Mr. Henry.
Why does he get to call you... Why does he call you Mr. Henry?
Because him and Robert are young, okay? I know that they're adults, but I still want them to call me Mr. Henry. You and the general are more my age.
Yeah, well, I'm an adult man. I can call people what I want.
On this show, I want Mr. Henry. Maybe when you're a little bit older, okay?
See, this is the thing. People worry about you, this Mr. Henry, but I want to say this.
Who's worried about me?
Just people I've heard talking.
Yeah, probably the Jeffcoat twins.
Hey! The Jeffcoat twins! The Jeffcoat!
Kick your ass. Don't ever laugh at me.
All right, so when I come down out of the mountains and I'm not one of the mutants from the hills have eyes and I look at you, that's being unfair. I get it. You're right. If the mutants came down, then...
No, it's the way that I look at you. If you look at me and you think I'm a freak, you have no right because I didn't live in the hills. When the hills have eyes, mutants come down out of the hills and they look at me. I look at them and I say, look at that freakoid.
What are you talking about?
You know, Mr. Henry, this... I'll call you Mr. Henry, okay? This made sense until you carved it a new ass.
No, it never made any sense at all, man. It never made any sense at all. Don't look at me like it's the hills have eyes, and you came down out of the mountains, and you're a normal-looking guy.
No, we were talking about us.
Yes, okay. All right. So, I'm not the one... Margaret, I'm finished, okay?
But Phil...
No, I'm all finished. I'm all finished. I'm all done. Thank you. You win. You win.
All right, that's all you had to say.
Yeah, see? Now you come to understand, right?
No, I haven't come to understand. I'm sick of it, and I'm going to throw up, and I want out of here so bad you wouldn't even believe it. Thank you very much, guys. Margaret, you win. I just don't understand the hills have eyes and me coming out of the mountains.
No, us coming out of the mountains.
You coming out of the mountains. So anyway, join us tomorrow morning, guys, 8:30 for our pre-show. That's with our BSPs, and that's where we give you a free prize. And then 9 o'clock, of course, is our regular show. It is 9 Pacific daytime. What am I trying to say?
Well, it's 9 Pacific Daylight Hours.
Yeah, Pacific Daylight Hours. And then, of course, our podcast drops. And then, of course, our show log will be posted. And then, of course, looking forward to seeing you guys out at the... Improv, the show is sold out, but we are planning new shows. I'm going to go out there today and talk with the guys. I will see you guys later. We've got some rehearsing to do this weekend. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com and see all that we have to offer. Get a backstage pass. Be a member of our BSP family. Here is Pat Div, La Cienega, Luxor.
Well, it's Pacific Division.
roll up your blunt and I might just chill. Bring your girl to the show and we might just peel. Do your life like some dice, I can write that wheel. Right hook to your mean mug.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Sideshow Network. This is General Galen Shaw, United States Army retired, speaking. Your move, make it a good one, because I'll be in my pocket and out of my pocket quicker than you can blink. I'll have my hand on it. Forget it.
She's 5'2 and by you a levy bender. Reporting live from the epicenter fault line. Fuck what other niggas got. 10-4 assault mine. Rental cars hard grind. And this it ain't part time. Town pride got us calling niggas guard sign. Garcia Vega, I'm a player. Triple my paper. Bubble goose got me tripled in layers. I mean, Rod Labors might hit him with flavors. And got the silver screen toys. Should've slid him in tankers. I'm clean. What? Now I got her boyfriend out here looking for me. Like the bitch from Bank, she was hella goofy. Nigga, sip your drink while I tell it.
Had a bitch named Keisha, knew she was a keeper. Had a stolen Visa and she bought me Gucci sneakers. Pistol in my pants, pocket full of rocks. Designer shoes on, running from the cops, I cannot stop. Step in the game, toes first. You rapping for the love, then you probably never sold work. Ride with me while I soul search through Los Angeles. Times are scandalous, my soul hurt.
Fucking with my own work, trying to cuff her ass, but you mad that her phone ring at 1 o'clock a.m. You know she lost her nose ring, fucking round with him. It's like a Hoover finding out she fucking round with Brim. Stops and up the blind, you like Cyclops. Gon' need eye drops, you sexy in heels plus high tops. 5-star meals, Beverly Hills, beloved IHOP. I got to know a little more about you. If your spirit is cool, there's your elegant perfume that swarms around you. Gracefulness be pouring out you. Painting my soul like you belong in the first 10 pages of Vogue. I be facing myself trying to stay in control. Had a whole team of queens, got a place in my hold. You struck me. Cupid's arrow through the heart of this elusive fellow. No fancy harps or cellos, maybe a simple hello. Usually mellow, cool, calm, collected, composed. You done knocked the player off of his toes like Ali.